can still lift, you should still lift, and it's possible to actually like keep improving while you're injured. If you have some older lady or older guy who is having like knee pain going up and down their stairs to get to their bedroom, PTs will figure out a way to help them get up to their bedroom, right? Because that's kind of important. They don't tell them to move. They don't tell them to like move their bed to the, you know, like the first level. They don't do anything. So they actually help them find a solution. Like for me, I think that it's silly that, hey, we can figure out how to help you get up and down these stairs with all this knee pain, but we can't help a lifter like get out of pain or train around pain.
Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting, a show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or a message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends, and welcome back. I have a wonderful episode here today that I think will be super helpful for any lifter out there who is recovering from an injury, who's had to recover from an injury, or is dealing with anything right now and really is not confident on what might be the next step towards recovering from that injury. I think one of the coolest things about having this podcast is I feel like I get to stay up to date with the newest information, the newest ways to train, the newest ways to be a better lifter. And that also means meeting people like Dr. Caitlin Wells of Beyond Recovery Physical Therapy, who to me had a very refreshing way of looking at recovery that we don't always see in the rehab world. You'll hear more about Dr. Wells, but really her job is, and what she loves to do, is help people get out of pain who are weightlifters, who are in strength sports, powerlifting, strongman. And she really sort of breaks down some myths that I've always thought about in physical therapy, and breaks down a lot of what might be holding you back, and talks really deep about what you can do to improve and work through your injuries to not only recover from your injury, but still progress. So the five things we're going to cover here today is: 1, keep lifting; 2, why you should video your lifts; 3, changing your intensity or volume; 4, change your exercise variation, whether that's tempos, negatives, pauses; and 5, auto-regulation and what that means when we're talking about recovery. And I wanted to read a review here today from Miss Jennifer Jinquart. I probably said that wrong. But if you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. I love to read what you guys say. I love to really be connected to each of you. So that's why I'm pretty active on my Instagram. So if you record or if you take a screenshot of you listening, whether you're walking, whether you're folding clothes or actually training, please do it. Put it on your story and I will share it. But Jennifer left a review on Apple, and it was, "I was 2 weeks out from my first meet and I was in search of content to help me be as prepared as possible. I'm so grateful to have discovered your podcast. Your content definitely delivered. So grateful that you cover topics for everyone from newbies to veterans. Thank you for what you are doing for women in the sport. You're appreciated." Oh my gosh, like melt my heart. Jennifer, thank you so much for that feedback. And thank you for all of you who have taken the time to leave a review. Also, I didn't know this, but Spotify actually has reviews. So if you're listening on Spotify, just give us a little 5-star. It's much, much appreciated. And this episode is brought to you by my gym, Core Strength and Performance, where we live through strength. And if you are looking to level up your powerlifting, if you need more guidance, if you need somebody there helping you along the way, visit core256.com and we can talk about what you need. And don't forget, you can work with Dr. Caitlin Wells at Beyond Recovery PT. You just Google that. It'll also be in our comments and show notes. Now, let's get it started with Dr. Wells. I want to hear about you, how you got into powerlifting and how you got into, physical therapy and how that, you know, all of that with your own personal, I guess, journey in powerlifting.
Yeah. Starting off with a loaded question. I like it.
Let's go.
We're not easy at all. Obviously, like you'll hear this a lot, like with PTs and things like that. Like you know, they played sports growing up, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
I played two sports, played some college ball, ended up like having a pretty career, like a career ending knee injury, in high school. And then I was like, my surgeon was like, you can go back, you can play college softball. Like, it's not, you know, as strenuous as basketball. So then I tried to go back and play, and let me tell you, I wanted to play, but the knee did not want to play.
Yeah.
So, two surgeries later, you know, I'm good as new. But like during that time, I really found that there was something missing in like the rehab process. Right. So, you know, they got me to where I was like a functional human again, but functional for me, like, you know, was actually getting back out on the field or the court and, mm-hmm. you know, like playing, going all out, stuff like that. And, you know, like I never really got back to the level that I was because my knee just wasn't the same. So there was this point where it was like, okay, PT got me to, you know, like a certain point, and then playing college softball was like two steps above that. But then I couldn't figure out what to do with the two steps in between that I needed to do from getting like discharged from PT to playing college softball. And so, you know, like around that time, I kind of fell into weights. I needed to do something with like the competitive spirit in me.
Yeah.
And, you know, like through all of that, through powerlifting, because that's what I started with. Now I'm an Olympic weightlifter. Don't kick me off the show, but yeah, like through powerlifting actually is how I developed confidence in my knee, built back my strength. And honestly, I feel like powerlifting is what really helped bridge the gap from like, hey, I got discharged from PT and now I'm like this competitive lifter. And I feel like it just really helped. So, you know, I'm a huge believer in that. Went to PT school. Had always wanted to do PT, but especially after that, you know, after that experience, I was like, yeah, like let's do PT. Let's do the dang thing.
Yeah.
And really, you know, like got into it. I didn't really like it as much as I thought I would, which is kind of blasphemy, I guess, but I was like, man, like, I just don't want to work in the hospital setting. I don't want to do like hospital-based outpatient, like it's just not as fun. And around that time, you know, I was talking to like powerlifters and weightlifters because that's who I was around.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this idea of, hey, I went to the doctor because I have this pain and they told me not to lift because it hurt. And like, honestly, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I kind of took it as like my mission to really help powerlifters and weightlifters come back from injury and hit pain-free PRs. Like that's kind of my life mission is to, you know, like, hey, like I see that you're in pain. Let's figure out how to keep you in the gym because, you know, like it's such an important piece of any lifter's life. Like you can't just take this one thing that they love away from them. And so anyway, I ended up leaving the hospital setting and just starting my own thing. And I think my professors, my parents, everybody around me thought I was freaking nuts, but yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's crazy. So what made you turn to powerlifting? Were you just in the gym and somebody was a powerlifter and that's how you got introduced to it?
So I've always been like incredibly competitive, like not with, I mean, with others, but more so like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so like insanely appealing to me and mm-hmm. just like, hey, how can I beat last week? Or, you know, like, how can I beat this version of myself? So like, even from, you know, 10, 11, like I was like wanting to lift weights. Like I just loved it. Of course, you know, during that time, cause that was early 2000s, probably, like lifting for youth wasn't as, you know, like popularized, it was like looked down upon, you know, things like that.
Totally.
So I always kind of had that lifting passion. And then, you know, I felt like super empty after I had the injury and couldn't play ball anymore. And so like lifting is something that I was like, it filled that hole in that void where it's like, okay, like I know that I can be competitive with myself. And honestly, if I want to, I can be competitive with others. And so it really just kind of helped me like bridge that gap. I mean, it's not like anybody necessarily introduced me. It was just like, I always kind of fell into liking that style of training more.
Yeah.
And then I actually figured out like what the actual term was, you know, like a couple of years later, but yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. It's funny how like I had a professor who was a powerlifting coach pretty much. And unfortunately I never utilized him the way I really wish I did because I wasn't into powerlifting back then, mm-hmm. you know? So it's funny how years later now I contact him and I'm hoping one day we can do a meet together. But that was like my first introduction, not really understanding it. But I feel like I had a lot of similarities to what you're talking about right now because I actually was going to go to PT school and I was on track to that. And I worked at a PT clinic for like 3 years and it was outpatient, you know, private clinic. But I think that I was so focused like yourself, like I wanted to be with competitors, athletes, like that was my thing, that when I worked at a, you know, a typical outpatient clinic where there's a lot of geriatric patients and though that is fulfilling to a point, I realized I'm like, that's not what I want to do for a living. You know, I think we realize in the PT world that it is like an income, right? Because there we will always have mm-hmm. elderly people or general population people to treat. But yeah, it's funny because I felt the same way. I was like, man, I want to work with athletes, but then I have to move away from Hawaii. So there were so many things in my mind, you know, like I'm like, oh, am I going to be able to do that? Wow, that's very cool. Okay, so I know that, you know, today our big thing today, you and I were talking about is pretty much, you know, training with pain or around pain, or how do we train still when we have pain? Because I guarantee there's not one person who is listening right now who hasn't had some sort of pain, right? Some sort of injury or something that they've had to work around. And I wanted to kind of lead into maybe some things that we were discussing about training around pain. And maybe you can dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, perfect. One of the things that, like, if anybody follows me or, you know, they've heard me talk before or anything, I'll use the example where it's like, if you have some older lady or older guy who is having pain, like knee pain going up and down their stairs to get to their bedroom, like PTs will figure out a way to help them get up to their bedroom, right? Because that's kind of important. They don't tell them to move. They don't tell them to like move their bed to the, you know, like the first level. They don't do anything. So they actually help them find a solution. And like, that's like, for me, I think that it's silly that, hey, we can figure out how to help you get up and down these stairs with all this knee pain, but we can't help a lifter like get out of pain or train around pain. And so that's like one of my biggest.
That's a great analogy. I mean, that's a great analogy, right? Because that just makes perfect sense in my brain. Like, yeah, we don't do it on a smaller scale. We do the same thing. Why wouldn't we do that when it comes to lifting?
Yeah. So I always say that there are three like big ideas around having pain as like a powerlifter or a weightlifter, you know, like whatever the population is. You can still train. Like you should still lift, or you can still lift, you should still lift. And it's possible to actually like keep improving while you're injured. So by training while you're in pain or, you know, injured, it's one, it helps like speed up recovery. Cause you know, if you can dial it back just a little bit or find a way to work around the pain, like you're going to be that much better off because the whole like rice thing, the rest, ice, compress, elevate, that was so popular a few years back. Oh gosh, it's kind of getting debunked now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so, like all we used to say. I think about it.
Right? Dude, same. Like I would literally just, you know, like rice. Because we didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But now it's getting debunked and you should actually like move and have some mobility while you're getting past this injury. We'll go into, you know, like a couple examples here in a little bit, but yeah, just continuing to move however you need to do it. There are ways, and we can talk about this too, like there are ways to get around it where it's like, hey, we're still lifting, we're still being active. Even if you have knee pain, like there are ways that we can still do squats to minimize the knee pain. So you can, you should, because I use this example too, where it's like, if you go to a traditional PT clinic and they're having you do like these little leg raises, kick your knee out without any weight. If you compare the intensity of that to like what your one rep max is, it's like 1%, right? Like right. The intensity is like literally 1% of your absolute intensity. So if that's all you do in PT, which is not to bash PT, but a lot of times that's what you get when you go to PT is like these little minuscule tabletop exercises. So like when you jump back in because you think the pain is gone, whenever you go back to lifting the way you were, even if you scale it back a little bit, that's a huge jump going from tabletop, no weighted exercises into back squatting. Even if you do like 135, like that's going to be a big jump. And so, you know, like continuing to lift while you're in this flared up state, while you're battling injury, while you're battling pain, it just helps you like to prevent re-injury, honestly, like whenever you, you know, actually get back into lifting the way you want to. And then, you know, the third thing is possible to keep working towards your goals. It's possible to still improve even with pain or injury. And like, you can still keep a lot of your strength, your muscle size, whatever's important to you. And, you know, it just comes down to, hey, let's find a way to work around this. If we know, you know, 600 pounds hurts, but 500 is fine, then okay, let's find a way to still progress, still keep that RPE high while we're working on, you know, like with 500 pounds. So that's just kind of like a quick overview on that stuff. But just know you can, you should, and it's possible to still improve even with pain and injury.
So I like that. I think intuitively as a strength coach, you know, we have people still modify, right? Let's say the squat, and in your case, what you're talking about, modify the squat to still include the squat. Intuitively, I think we think about that, but I guess I never really thought about like if when they do go to therapy, a lot of the times it is such a scaled back version of it. And I guess in my mind, if I'm thinking with RICE, right, rest, ice, compress, elevate, we're thinking like, oh, you just want to totally back off those movements, maybe have some sort of small stimulation so that you don't lose everything. But yeah, coming back to it, they're going to still have to do those movement patterns again. And if they haven't really done it through that, you're saying that can really maybe stall progress, but it's better for them to actually move through that, right?
Right. And honestly, if you think about it, like most of the lifters that I have, it, you know, I mean, occasionally I'll have somebody that, oh, they felt like a pop or something while they're lifting. That sucks. But a lot of times it's just like an ache and pain that comes from like a workload related thing. So it's like the intensity is not matching up with what their body is actually able to handle. And so it's like an overuse injury. And so, you know, if your workload ratio is off because you've been at this traditional PT where you've done like the RICE thing for 2 months and then you jump back in, your workload ratio is going to be like insanely off, right?
Yeah.
And so you can quickly get into like another flare up of that injury if you're compensating because you're trying to avoid getting hurt, you know, if your knee hurts. If you're trying to avoid knee pain, then maybe your hips are going to hurt now or, you know, whatever. So I see like a lot of people come back from like the traditional PT where it's like, hey, I'm good. I'm back. I'm ready to go. And then they go in, maybe ego lift a little bit. And then before you know it, like a day or two later, they're like, son of a bitch, like my knee is hurting again. Whereas like, I find that my lifters that, hey, even if we have to scale back a little bit, if we're still doing the dang thing and we can keep like RPE up by modifying somehow, even if we have to modify a lift, you know, like doing box squats. I know you posted on your story the other day about box squats versus regular squats, you know, like that's a good way to keep intensity up, but also like allowing that knee to maybe calm down a little bit. And so, you know, like there are workarounds, and by just like keeping the load on you and, you know, like lifting through that, I think it just sets people up so much better.
Yeah, I like that. So it sounds like you're telling us like some of the ways that we can work around that is one, right? Change your tempo or change where the mm-hmm. range of motion, right? Like, so mine would be a box squat versus a full squat. Negatives, pauses. And we had talked about this. Maybe you can kind of get into some other ways, autoregulation, and you can talk about this and as a way to help mitigate those things or maybe help during this process.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. So there are so many ways that we can honestly, you know, still lift with pain. There are ways that we can modify lifts. Like, it's literally endless. So we would be here all day. A few of the things that I start out with, just, you know, like if a lifter comes to me, they have pain or they reach out on Instagram or something, they're like, hey, this is going on. You know, I always want to see a video first, whether I'm in person with them or not. Like, I still video it, still see what's going on, and see like what we can come up with technique wise. Because maybe you're just doing something funky, you know, that you're not aware of.
Yeah.
And maybe it's stressing the body in a different way. So if it's a technique thing, cool. We can figure that out with a video. If it looks like it's a mobility thing, okay, cool. We can also figure that out just with a video. So I know people video, you know, lifts a lot, but a lot of times I think it's just like, okay, hey, like I did this, look at this, let me go post this on social media so I can, you know, be cool. But really there's so much information in just taking a single video. You can, you know, if you're looking at the way the knees are moving, you know, if you're getting like that valgus collapse, that, and just to be clear, there's going to be some of that with a heavy squat. Like, you can't avoid it. But if you have too much, you can view that from the front. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I take videos from the side or at 45. There's really not a lot of things that I find valuable to look at from like a front angle. So just a little quick side note there. One example of the importance of like videos too, that I want to touch on. I had this guy who came to me, he was a big CrossFit guy, and, he was having pain. He was, you know, I think it was around 600. He would have pain with a deadlift, and, you know, he'd be like, dude, like this literally wrecks my back. I can get all the way up to like 580, no problem. But once I get 600, it just freaking kills me. And it'll like leave him laying flat for like 3 days. And so I had him come in because, you know, this was whenever I did more in-person work. So he came in, we went through a movement assessment, we looked to see what was going on. And then I had him do like deadlifts. So if you want to get some really funny looks, be a PT who has somebody do like a 600 pound deadlift as part of their assessment.
Yeah.
You'll get all the funny looks, but
let's do it. Max it out. Like, come on. You had to, right? You probably had to get him close to that in order to kind of see where that pain is coming.
Yep. And, you know, I took a video and it was like, dude, your hips are so high. Like, no wonder why your back hurts, because he was basically just like RDLing. Straight leg RDLing this thing. And I was like, damn, if you can like, you know, straight leg deadlift this thing at 600 pounds, like what are you going to do when you get your hips, you know, a little lower down and actually involved? And he was actually unable to get his hips down from like a mobility thing. And so by using that video, we were able to say, hey, like this is going on. And then we could reference back to that video, you know, after we did some work and say, hey, like, look at the difference in this hip position. And then boom, I threw in like two things and his hip pain was gone because he was able to like get into a proper setup. So all that to say, videoing is so important.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's so funny. And it's funny that we're talking about this, right? Because we're talking about use of video and in that video I just posted, I talk about how video is important to just even you know, recognize for yourself. And, you know, and the same thing was going through my mind. Like, yeah, you want a video because I'm sure you want to put it on the gram or, you know, document your training log, which is really popular. And I love the value of that. But yeah, I think it's a big reference point because I've been videoing my lifts for as long as I could actually video them. And not only am I like, wow, that really sucked 10 years ago, but you know, even now I watch my position as I'm doing that box squat, the initial videos, I was like, I'm sitting back a little too much, more than I need to be in this particular way that I want to box squat. So I need to come down a little straighter. I need to spread the floor a little bit more, you know, the little things that I was able to reference back and forth. And I think that is a huge tool that sometimes is underutilized when we try to assess ourselves, right? Like it's not just for the gram or TikTok or whatever, but really if you take that objectively and look, okay, why did it feel the way it felt or look the way it looked? That would make a huge difference. And that's a perfect one. Actually, one of my lifters does the same thing. As she gets her maximal weight, she just starts really high and it really is like an RDL. I'm like, but her back so far is okay. You know, we're trying to work that out, but, some people might or might not have pain from it. So it's interesting, but that is a great example of that.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing too. Like, just because somebody's squat or deadlift or bench doesn't look like the classic cookie cutter, it doesn't mean that it's automatically wrong. Like that just might be how they move. So I can get pretty heated on that stuff where it's like people are saying, dude, that looks like shit. And you're like, okay, but did you see it 2 months ago? Like it really looked bad if you think, you know, that looks like shit. So I feel like people are quick to judge, but it's really one of those things where it's like, okay, you have zero context. Like look at it from a couple months ago or even last week and see if there's a difference. And if there is, then like basically shut your mouth because you know, there's progress being made.
Yeah. My little rant would be along with this, and it sounds like you might be on the same page, but there is no like pure, perfect form, right? There is no, it's a range, and that's a perfect example of a range, right? It was probably a shittier range back then, and now it's it looks, quote unquote, looks a little better, but it is a range for everybody. Mm-hmm. What are some other ways? I know you had touched on intensity and volume.
So if there's really nothing wrong, you know, like that we can see or dissect out with a video, then what I like to do next is just change the intensity. Do we know, hey, without fail, if I get up, like my guy just gave an example of, if I hit 580, I'm fine. But if I go up, then I start to hurt. So we know, hey, like we have this window where we can get a lot of work done and still, you know, make progress, but not piss things off. And so changing the intensity is one way. You know, if we're looking at absolute load and 600, that hurts, or if we're looking at RPE and it's like an 8.5, 9, something like that, that's causing pain, then just stay under that. You know, it's not going to be a forever thing. It's just a, hey, let's let this thing calm down for a little bit, see what's going on, and then just keep moving forward. That kind of ties into the third thing that I do, which is, like you mentioned, changing tempo, adding some eccentrics, adding pauses, adding like two pauses or something crazy. But I mean, if you look at it from just a, hey, if we have this absolute load that always hurts, RP doesn't really matter, but if I do 600 pounds and it's going to hurt, then how do we still create a similar RPE, but not going into like that, the amount of load that will cause pain, right? So that's where we can do things like tempos, negatives, pauses, anything like that, single leg stuff, you know, so we're still working really high RPE wise, and our relative intensity is very high, but our absolute intensity is a little bit more low. So that way the tissues can relax, they can calm down. They're still getting that loading like we talked about on those first 3 points. But they're not getting so overloaded that, you know, they're just continually getting pissed off. And that's where I feel like a lot of people kind of miss the boat. They're like, okay, let's see if this hurts today. So they test it. And then of course it hurts. So then it's like, you're almost starting back over. It's like if you have a bruise, you know, you always touch it to see if it still hurts. And people do that with pain and injury too. They're like, oh, I'm just going to do like two sets really heavy just to see if it still hurts. And it does. Yeah. Like, just stop.
Listen, you are speaking my language right now, because I swear that like every time, I guess I've never really looked at it from a rehab point of view, right? So I've always looked at it as a coaching performance perspective. I would drop the intensity. And for those of you listening, intensity, we're referring about how much weight is actually on the bar. That's when we say intensity. I will drop the intensity, but you know, change or progress, modify, I should say, the exercise. So the RPE, which is rate of perceived exertion, how hard it is. You know, it's funny because RPE, we use it so much in strength, but when, you know, back in the fitness days, it was like when you went to the cardio room and you saw these pictures of happy faces, right? And there was like really angry happy face. And then there was like really, you know, like neutral happy face. And it was like 1 through 10, right? That was like RPE for cardio. And it's funny because I always think of that in my mind. But yeah, I mean, I always thought of it as a performance, right? Never like in a rehab sense is what you're saying. So I can see how it would cross over. But yeah, like for example, one of my lifters right now, she's really getting back to pulling from the floor, and we modified it. So as she was kind of progressing through her therapy, I was working with her therapist, who's a friend of mine as well. But, you know, we pulled from blocks. We pulled in different positions. We pulled in things where it wasn't necessarily excruciating pain. She did have some discomfort. But now, you know, she has pretty much no pain, and we pulled from the floor. She still pulled what she pulled in the meet, which is a meet max in her training max, you know, from a year ago. So I love hearing this in a rehab sense, because I guess I've never really thought about, I never thought about it from that lens. But I guess, you know, they're crossing over pretty much is what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And, you know, like this is stuff that I didn't learn in PT school.
No, but I bet, right.
Because of, and not knocking my school, because it was a good school. It just, like, PT as a whole just isn't very fitness minded,
right?
Or at least powerlifting, like strength sports, it's not strength sports minded. But yeah, I mean, you know, there are so many things that you can do, and yeah, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that, you know, I've had like hundreds of athletes at this point that have come through. They've had coaches. Some of them don't have coaches, and they've stuck around with me training. And so, you know, like, each person is so different, but the principles are similar, right? So like the video, the changing the intensity, looking at volume, sets and reps there, looking at, you know, the auto regulation, RPE stuff, like those are the things that I use on a daily basis with my athletes. And I think like the vast majority of them, it does help. And like you said, like with your girl, like she continued to lift even with pain. You just modified it a little bit. You changed the range to meet her where she was. But even whenever it came back or came time to pull from the floor again, and then, you know, maybe even go for a max, like she was right there where she was before her injury. And that's like the beautiful thing about lifting, even if you have pain or injury, because you're able to still like maintain all of those improvements. You're still able to get stronger. You're still able to do all these things that, you know, if you took 2 months off, think about how far away she would be from that one rep max, because she hadn't been lifting or doing anything like that for 2 months.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. Yeah. And I love it, because now I'm thinking, like, you know, we do that intuitively with programming, right? In order to modify or regulate how much fatigue we accumulate, which can result, you know, in my mind, into, you know, injuries if fatigue is really high. So it's like, well, you know, we're also modifying it if you already have an injury, which, you know, me and Caitlin were talking off before we started, is like almost everybody has an injury. They have something going on if you've been doing this for some even small extended period of time. Yeah. Okay. So my biggest takeaways is, you know, keep training, but modify those things, right?
Still do it.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. And don't let your ego get in the way, because that's where a lot of people. And I am guilty. I am so guilty of ego lifting.
Oh, I'm sure. If you're competitive, I'm sure you are.
Yeah. But ego, you know, whenever you come back from pain or injury, it's not always the best.
No, no. But listen, before I wanted to let you go, this is what I ask all my guests.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
What the hell was I thinking? Where you look back to a time, which I'm glad you let in from eagle lifting to this, because this might coincide. but you think back to a time in powerlifting where you did something and now you're like, what the fuck was I thinking doing that? Can you think of something?
Oh, I mean, how long do you have? Because there are probably a million things. But it's funny, like that's how we get better and we evolve, right? What the hell was I thinking? Honestly, this is like another blasphemous thing to say as a PT, but I
go for it.
Was obsessed with maxing. I would try to max like every week when I first started because, you know, again, ego, the competitiveness. I would literally go in and be like, okay, like I failed last week, but it's fine. I got it this week, you know, like I'm going to beat my max. And now because I'm much more evolved, I always joke that I'm more evolved Caitlin over here. I obviously know that you shouldn't max all the time.
Yeah.
Nor should you max, you know, even that often. But instead doing sub max work. So it's honestly a wonder that I didn't get hurt trying to max all the time, but knock on wood, I never did.
That is good.
Yeah.
I do know some people that pull to, you know, and pull to a max. I mean, that's very popular in some training programs out there. Mm-hmm. And I have also done the same. But I find, maybe I should say, the general population, as I work with them, tend to not do well with pulling to a max or, you know, training to a max every week because of the repercussions of that, right? Yeah, like we're talking about injuries.
Yeah.
The fatigue is so high and like so many people have regular lives where they have families and jobs and other commitments outside of training where sub max will work. You know, there's going to be somebody here today that's going to listen to you and go, I pull to a max.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm fucking tired when I get to work.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I mean, it does take, it just puts a massive hit on your central nervous system and recovery. And honestly, I mean, we could talk for hours about, you know, training around pain, ways that you can still, you know, like improve and increase your tolerance for all that stuff. And then, actually, I was thinking of another, what the hell was I thinking? So you get a special two for one.
Oh, I like
here.
It. I like it.
But I, for whatever reason, again, my ego must be massive, but I used to think that it was like almost a status, like a really cool thing for me to say that I'd never had a coach and that I did my own programming.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, like kind of,
yeah,
you know. Big totally. Chest and whatever, being stupid. And now I'm like, I have so much more knowledge and education around lifting, but I will not do my own program. Like I will hire somebody to do it because we're so dumb when it comes to ourselves. Like we cannot be objective with ourselves at all. So that was another, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah. I think I did the same thing. I like the process of kind of learning on my own. I think that's part of it. You know, it really was exciting for me to read about nutrition and diet and dive really deep into training. And I do feel like it was a badge of honor for myself as well. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I trained myself for like three, maybe almost 4 years in bodybuilding before I had a coach. But let me tell you, the year that I got a coach who was Dexter Jackson and his wife, Gail, of course, everything skyrocketed, right? Like it's even just in bodybuilding. Yep. And same thing when I got Susan Salazar as my coach, and that was years I was coaching myself. Everything shot up, right? Because I was really missing a big key in my training. And back then I didn't know as much as I do now. So even more so, I mean, I knew a lot, but in hindsight, not as much as I need to learn. So for those of you out there, get a coach. But if you want to learn on your own, of course, like there's value to that, right? If you want to kind of get there a little faster, I would hire somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
Just Caitlin, this was fantastic. I would love to have you on again. And we were talking about different topics. Yes, all about it. We'll have you back on again. Caitlin, it's Caitlin Wells, Beyond Recovery PT. And your Instagram is Beyond. It's actually your name, right?
So the handle is beyond.recovery physical therapy. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook. I'm not really super active on. Instagram is the best way to get a hold of me. If you have questions, if you have like any kind of pain that you're dealing with, shoot me a message, let me know what's up, and then we can kind of take a deep dive.
Do you actually help people through video and stuff like that? Do people hire you that way too? Like, do you do online assessments or anything like that?
Yep. Online assessments. In that regard, it would be more, like just strength training, due to like practice laws within physical therapy, we can take a look, we can see what's going on, and there might be some tips that I can help kind of pass your way. There might be some movements that we need to take a look at, but either way, online is perfect.
Wonderful. And I know this has been extremely helpful for everybody listening, because we all need to be a little bit better about our pain and addressing it a little better. So thank you so much for being on the show here today.
Thank you for having me. It's been awesome.